Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom, and in our continued focus on urban affairs, we look today at the Grand Bullet Train project meant to connect Ahmedabad and Mumbai in a little over 2 hours. It's a 1,10,000 crore project, the large bulk of which will come from Japan through a soft loan repayable over a period of 50 years. But is this massive project ever going to be financially viable unless the government chooses to subsidize it heavily? Now, that depends on who you ask. Some say there will never be enough passengers traveling between the two cities to make loan repayment, even 50 years later, a realistic proposition. The present traffic between Mumbai and Ahmedabad on trains is pegged at 15,000 passengers daily. Is that going to be enough to generate enough finances for this project to be viable? Well, that's one perspective. On the other hand, imagine a scenario where you can travel between Delhi and Kolkata in 6 hours. It really is a dream. So it all depends on who you ask. The big question, should a bullet train have been a priority before getting our railway system fixed? On now to our big focus, India's first bullet train, a sign of the extraordinarily close ties between India and Japan, who, besides anything else, reaffirmed their strategic partnership today, a move that may make China quite wary. But the big takeaway of the visit of the Japanese Prime Minister, the bullet train project. Can it truly redefine travel between large urban centers in India?
Bahut bahut badhai, bahut bahut sari shubhkamnaye.
The groundbreaking ceremony, a strategic win-win for both the Indian and Japanese leaders.
Nippon wa Japan.
Japan ka ja aur India ka e. Agar inhe mila dein, to Hindi mein jai, mane vijayi ban jata hai.
Jai India.
जब मैं गुजरात में था तब मैं बुलेट ट्रेन की जब बात करता था तो मुझे पूछा जाता था मोदी बातें करता है बुलेट ट्रेन क्यों लाए कब लाएंगे अब जब लाना शुरू किया तो पूछ रहे क्यों लाए
दिस इज व्हाट इंडियाज बुलेट ट्रेन विल लुक लाइक
320 किलोमीटर प्रति घंटे की गति से चलने वाले
इट्स 508 किलोमीटर्स लॉन्ग विल कनेक्ट अहमदाबाद टू मुंबई and cut train travel from 8 to just 2 hours, hitting speeds of 320 kilometers per hour, going through India's longest tunnel of 21 kilometers, 7 kilometers of which will be under the sea near Thane. Japan will be financing 80% of the 1.1 lakh crore project at a negligible rate of 0.1%. Essentially, India will only be paying about 1700 crore a year for 50 years. It is a win for Abe because India is the first customer of Japan's 50-year-old bullet train. It lost out to China in at least two other cases. For Modi, it's one of his pet projects, getting India a high-tech technology transfer, which will be in his home state, creating a lot of jobs.
मैं जब यहाँ पहुँचा था एयरपोर्ट पे तो मुझे बहुत ही सुंदर दृश्य दिखे थे और मैं आशा करता हूँ कि कुछ वर्षों में जब मैं यहाँ आऊँ अहमदाबाद आऊँ तो मोदी जी के साथ शिंकानसन में बैठकर आऊँ और मुंबई अहमदाबाद के बीच के सुंदर दृश्यों को शिंकानसन की ट्रेन की खिड़की से देखते हुए बातें करते हुए आऊँ
इस नए भारत को नई गति देने की दिशा में आगे बढ़ेंगे
द प्रायोरिटीज ऑफ द रेलवेज विल कंटिन्यू टू बी Programs like this apart, then 95%.
So for them, today means what?
For them, today means nothing.
Working with the Japanese could help improve Indian Railways' dismal track record in safety.
2022, at the Sabarmati terminal, coinciding with Prime Minister's vision of New India and country's 75 years of independence, the country's first bullet train will roll out. Marking a new chapter in the history of high-speed railway networks. In Ahmedabad, with camera person Natwar Parmar, Rohit Ban for NDTV.
Wow, bullet trains in India, it really does seem like a dream, but Mr. Modi says that that's going to be a dream that's going to be realized. But I think the big question is this, in as much as bullet trains do have the potential of redefining travel between urban centers, is it really worth the expense? Will we be able to pay back this 1,10,000 crores, and it's not all to the Japanese. Some of it is going to come from loans, which presumably the government will also be taking. Even after 50 years, That's a key question that needs to be answered. Could these funds perhaps not have been better spent in securing the present Indian railway network, where we see so many people losing their lives every year? Joining us now to look at this, J. Narayan Vyas of the BJP. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. Sushmita Dev of the Congress. T.S. Ramakrishnan, he's done a PhD in bullet trains and is an expert on the subject. And Jayadev Ranade, the former RAW additional secretary in the cabinet secretariat, joins us also to look at the larger perspective of Japan and India coming together in this major project. What does it mean from a strategic standpoint? T.S. Ramakrishnan, let me come to you first. Is the financial viability of this project premised on a massive rise in ridership between Mumbai and Ahmedabad and vice versa?
Okay, I'll come to that. Essentially, we have to see the loan terms. The loan terms are very, very favorable to us, in the sense we are, we have to repay only after 15 years of moratorium, and the repayment period is 50 years.
Yes.
So we need to actually, if at all bullet train, this particular project is able to generate operating profit, then we are very, it is going to be financially viable.
But how
we need
how,
to generate
what,
only operating
what
profit
needs to be done.
The,
but
the,
sir, what needs to be done for it to be generating a profit?
No, yeah, already it has been estimated by the Japan agency that we will get around 40,000 passengers every day between Ahmedabad and Mumbai. Not just Ahmedabad and Mumbai, between various OD pairs of Ahmedabad and Mumbai.
Right.
We
so
have
right
to see that
it's 15,000
this Mumbai
passengers.
Ahmedabad route has two major cities.
15,000 passengers.
Yeah. So it is. We are going.
So it is premised on a massive jump, right?
No,
from
basically we have to see
to 40,000.
No, not only. Yeah. Yeah, basically, I'll let me tell you. See, when economy grows at 6%, our transport needs grows at 1.5 times that of our economy. That means if you are growing at 6%, our transport needs grow at 9%. That is first thing. The second thing is the base traffic of Ahmedabad-Mumbai corridor is very, very high, because we have two major cities in between. One is Vadodara, another one is Surat. Surat is one of the fastest growing city in the world. So if at all we take the entire region as such, it is holding a population of around 7 to 8 crores.
Okay.
So it is people are not going to travel only between Ahmedabad and Mumbai. People are going to travel from people who want to travel between, say, Pune and Ahmedabad,
okay,
is going
so
to come
going to be,
Mumbai
going
and
to
catch the bullet train and travel by bullet train up
going
to
Ahmedabad. So it's not just Mumbai, Ahmedabad. It's going to be other areas using this route. I take that point. But
yeah.
I want to go across to Sushmita Dev at this stage.
Exactly.
Sushmita,
I want to take only one more.
I have four other people. Please be patient. I will come to you in a moment. Sushmita Dev, are you convinced with this argument,
okay,
the assumption that it's going to, there will be a massive boost in ridership up to 40,000, and therefore this project will be financially viable?
You know, viability of any project like this will depend on the efficiency of the project, and also a very important factor is when it will eventually get implemented. What
so 2021,
we have seen,
and that is the
reported,
promise. 2021.
Yes. So what I would like to say is that what is in the public domain is this train is going to actually have 12 stops. Okay, 8 of which is in Gujarat and 4 of which will be outside Gujarat on the way to Mumbai. Now the question is this really going to be as fast as we think we are? And we are seeing it as a new technology. We are not against getting new technology, especially in the railway, because it was in 2013 that the economic corridor agreement was signed between Dr. Manmohan Singh and the government of Japan.
Yep.
So we are not against it per se, but like you said, we're talking about the viability. Now, is it or is it not a fact that if a bullet train stops 12 times, which is more than a Rajdhani or any other fast train, I hope it doesn't turn into a bullock cart. And therefore, I may find it easier to fly to Bombay and fly back. So you're actually going to be competing with airlines. So that's an important angle to look at. And
okay, one sec. Let me get Jenera and Vyas in on this, sir. How many? Firstly, clarify this. How many stops are there going to be?
S- See, I think, Vishnu, let's look at the project in a little different way. You know, whether it is a bullet train or a bullock cart, you know, whoever has evaluated this project, and Japanese are one of the smartest lenders in the world.
Yep.
They must have given due thought in giving the gestation period and also the repayment period. The typical feature of this project is 15 years gestation period, during which you don't have any capital repayment liabilities. Very low interest, which is 0.1%. And long repayment period of 50 years. I think if you discount it by the rate of inflation, it's almost a free ride given to our country. So I think viability point of view, talking about whether it will be viable or not, I am 100% sure Japanese credit agencies are smart enough to evaluate this project and its viability before putting in a penny into this project.
No, but I think that's not, I'm not the issue that has been so much about what the Japanese have said. I want your analysis and your explanation on this, sir. How will ridership go up massively on this route?
What would be the reasons for it?
Because what I'm saying is... Yeah, 50, sir, one last point. Sir, 1,500 rupees would make it relatively viable. Why would people necessarily be willing to pay so much if the number of stops is larger than, you know, a non-stop service? How is it going to work out? I'm just curious to understand.
They can fly,
Mr. Vyas.
They can fly.
Well, I think this flying option is something which is not comparable. It's a new technology that is coming up, and anytime any new technology comes, it has its own spin-offs. So it's not only the time between Bombay and Ahmedabad that should be the consideration. There are several other technological spin-up, and also the area development impact that right from Pune, it was very rightly said that you should not look it in a narrow angle by saying that it is Ahmedabad-Bombay. It is right up to Pune. The catchment area will be feeding to this line, and I don't think there should be any question of viability.
Okay,
if there was
enough.
A question of viability,
let's move away. No financial institution worth its salt will lend money for this. Mr. Vyas, I take your point. Let's move away from the viability point to look at some other points. I wanted to go back to Mr. Ramakrishnan. Mr. Ramakrishnan, last year, according to the government, there were 25,000 people who died, 3,882 injured in railway accidents across the country, all sorts of accidents, not just train accidents, others related to the railways, level crossings. In 2014, 27,581 deaths. Couldn't money like this have been better spent in securing what we already have, which in many ways doesn't work?
Okay. So let me clarify this.
Yes.
The funding given by Japanese government is only for bullet train, not for replacing your age-old assets, which you are supposed to do it from your revenue itself. So there is no point in, expecting Japanese to fund your, day-to-day operating expenses. So Japan has been helping us in developing Delhi Metro, and then they have helped us with the Western Dedicated Freight Corridor. Now they are helping us in, developing bullet train project. Essentially, we need to, the railway has to improve their finances, and they have to spend from their own finances for repairing age-old assets. We have not changed our tracks. We have not constructed our, road over bridge or road under bridge for the last, 25, 30 years. And we cannot expect somebody else to, sponsor for that. It has to be provided by the railway finances itself. The railway has to generate resources for that, and it has to do it. And we can't expect somebody to pay. We can expect loan only for some specific purposes, like education, or for that matter, for buying some property and all. We can't expect somebody to give a loan for grocery items.
Okay, I'm
so
going to return
is,
to the bullet
train. But the railway
the
has to manage it.
I'm going to return to the bullet train bit in a moment, but I want to also briefly look at what this reflects between India and Japan. It's an extraordinarily close equation, Mr. Ranade. This is at one level, we use the word strategic for anything and everything, but at one level, let's face it, this was a strategic decision as well. It sort of takes into account the extremely close ties we have with Japan. We could have gone with China, we could have gone with another country, but instead we chose to take Japanese technology, and obviously the terms were very good for us. What message does this actually send to Japan, which is a rival to both India and what message does it send to China, which is a rival to both Japan and India?
Well, firstly, I agree with you that this is a very strategic and a very symbolic visit that has taken place. It's the 10th meeting, I think, between Shinzo Abe and Prime Minister and our Prime Minister Modi. So in that respect itself, it's important. The second, it highlights Japan's commitment to India, the amount of money that Japan has committed to India, the agreements that have been signed, 15 of them, across a wide spectrum of endeavors, from scientific to communications like the railways and strategic. So there are a large number of items where there is a convergence of interest. And I think as far as China is concerned, it certainly would be nervous. And we already see that from the reaction coming in from the Chinese media, mm-hmm. which has tried to dismiss this meeting as, you know, two countries which have lost their way kind of thing. But I think as far as the central message to China is concerned, it is that both countries will look for alternatives, that India certainly has a strong partner in Japan and vice versa, and that they are going to continue to build this relationship. I think the reference by Shinzo Abe also to the diamond relationship between Japan, India, Australia and the US is also very significant, because it brings into play the close strategic and defense partnership
yep.
that is envisaged in some time in the future,
right.
which will cover the South China Seas.
Right, and they spoke about terrorism as well and India's concerns on that front. Mr. Ranade, yes. thanks for sharing that perspective with us, because I think that is the overall, the broader view we need to take as we look at this this particular project. But I'd like to return to the project itself now. Sushmita, you're worried about this project and how fast the train will go. But it's been pointed out that there's been a lot of work that's gone into the research in this particular project. And in as much as we want all of the railways to improve, wouldn't it actually be fantastic if this model could be translated into, for example, a service between Delhi and Kolkata, which could reduce train travel from 16 hours presently to 6 hours? If this financial model does work, and this government believes it will work, then wouldn't this be a true revolution?
See, I can't deny the fact that if it does work, it's a good thing for the country. So I'm not going to criticize something for the sake of criticizing it. But Bishnu, I think my common sense, I'm not a technocrat or a bureaucrat. I can tell you it's not going to work. And I think whether you like it or not, when a government is in power, it is about priorities. And I believe that this has been done with the Gujarat election in mind. It should have, I mean, according to me, you have waited 3.5 years to do this. And much has been said about the interest rate that the Japan has given. But is nothing new. World Bank has given us billions of dollars as loan, and that too at interest free. So on one side, if you're batting for better infrastructure, I think we could have used the money in a much better way in improving Indian railways, and we all agree to that across the party line.
But it was pointed out, Sushmita, that this money was for this project. This money was for this project. It wasn't for anything else.
No, I accept that. I'm not saying that we've taken the money from the treasury bench to basically make this bullet train. That's not what I'm arguing. But what I am saying is that if the Prime Minister had concentrated in actually making the Indian railways more efficient and not looked at an election gimmick to win Gujarat, we would have been happier.
Okay.
And I have serious doubts about whether the bullet train can compete with the airlines. Nobody's answered that question.
Oh, Mr. Vyas, it's a political move before the elections. That's the point being made. How would you respond?
Well, I think the human memory is not all that short, which my friend from Congress is thinking. I would like her to go back to Rajiv Gandhi's time. When cancelling the election rally in Rajasthan, he went to Ayodhya, opened up those darshan, and then the election campaign was started from there. So I think Congress has no better record in this front to talk about. Let's not talk about it. And which political party does a harakiri like Congress that you don't think politically? You know, you have started thinking about everything else other than politics, which is presently the problem with Congress. So I pity them.
There is, my sympathies are there with them. Nothing beyond that. But one thing we should understand, Vishnu, that today Japan is our third largest FDI investor. 8% is the investment made by direct FDI investment of Japan, close to about $20 billion. By 2050, this is going to cross $50 billion. And if this is going to increase, I think increasing the partnership with Japan, taking such examples further, and then combining the technology available from them and also the funds that is available from them, I think that will be a great thing for the country.
Okay.
So this is a win-win situation, I would rather say.
Okay, a win-win situation. Let's see how it works out. But let's try and get an answer to what Sushmita was also asking. Mr. Ramakrishnan, if you book early on an airline, you can even get fares close to this on a sector, on a flight between Ahmedabad and Mumbai, a little bit more. It's about 2,000 rupees at the very cheapest. Why would this necessarily be an attractive option?
Yeah. The passengers for bullet train is not going to come just from air. It is going to come from luxury buses. We have forgotten the so-called luxury bus segment, which has been growing enormously in the last 10, 15 years. There are more than 8,000 Volvo buses that are running between cities now.
How much is
it? So even between Ahmedabad and Mumbai, you can see it is costing 2,000 rupees, 2,500 rupees. If you want to travel by a Volvo bus or Mercedes Benz between Ahmedabad and Mumbai, you need to pay 2,000 rupees. I am talking about the Volvo buses. Even you take Ahmedabad and Vadodara, the Gujarat State Road Transport Corporation is every day running 80 buses, 80 schedules every day, and
so
with
you
the
are admitting
price
that
of
the
300
bullet
rupees
train is going
per
to compete with
and
the
people
bus.
Are traveling.
Is that what you are saying? It's to replace buses?
Yeah, it is going to compete with the
You are saying
it is going to compete with the luxury buses. Bullet train is going to compete with the luxury buses. It is going to compete with the AC train classes. And again, it is going to compete with the car passengers. It is going to compete with the air passengers. It is not, we generally assume that only people move from air to bullet train. That is the case in developed countries. In India, the air traffic is very, very low. We have less than 2% of our total transport, passenger transport in air. So it is going to come from other modes.
Okay.
It is not just going to come from, air alone.
Okay.
Then the second point is regarding bullet cart versus bullet train. Now, actually, the technology has developed in the last, say, 15, 20 years that you have enormous acceleration and deceleration in train sets. Okay. So as a result, even if you have 12 stations, it is not a problem. It is possible to achieve an average speed of 250 to 260 kilometer with a maximum speed of around 320 kilometers. So things have changed a lot in the last, say, 15, 20 years. The technology has improved. Acceleration and deceleration of the train sets have improved.
So you're saying
the train can
still
stop
be fast.
And
Mr. Vyas, last
kind
point,
of technology
30
that
seconds,
Japan
sir, the point that you're trying to make before Mr. Ranade also has something to say. Yes, Mr. Vyas, go ahead.
Now, Vishnu, I wanted to add a little bit to what Mr. Ramakrishnan was saying. You know, we are talking on static comparisons. What are airfares today? You know, bullet train will become operative in 2022. You know, let's look at the scenario. By that time, the population might have gone up. The urbanization will go up. The kind of traffic that is between these two centers will go up enormously. And therefore, considering the way the aviation fuels are moving and the new fleet that is being added to our airspace, I think it is not a proper comparison to make right now that today you can book a ticket at 2500 or 1500 rupees. It will end. That is again those early birds. The same flight also have passengers who are paying 7500 rupees.
Okay, Mr. Vyas, I'm completely out of time. I think right now what a lot of people would want to see is can this project actually happen by 2021? Because we're really counting 2021, 2022. Will we be able to achieve this rate of construction? That's going to be a huge challenge. I don't think anyone is going to deny the challenges ahead for that. I'd like to thank Mr. Ranade. Apologies, I'm out of time. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us today. It's an exciting project. It is certainly going to change the way that India travels. But let's never forget the larger picture. Most of India is not going to be traveling on bullet trains. And let us for a moment not forget the huge funds required to modernize the railways overall. I'd like to thank all of you very much for being with us. Goodbye.